Hello, and welcome to another USF Football Recap here on Radio St. Pete. I'm Kevin Erlinson.
I'm Will Bowles.
And we're from Bowles Radio, the student-run radio station at the University of South Florida's Tampa campus, covering all USF athletics. With morale at critical conditions, the Bulls put up a fight against the number 17 Cincinnati Bearcats before eventually falling 20-17 in, and as if it were going to be any other way, heartbreaking fashion on a last-second field goal. Here's how it happened. Bulls got out to a surprisingly early lead through a four-yard touchdown run from Javon Sands late in the first quarter. Spencer Schrader added a field goal. He wouldn't do that for the rest of the game. We'll talk about that in a minute. To make it 10-0 at halftime. Cincinnati punted on their first six possessions in the first half and only crossed midfield once in the half. Jared Doakes pulled a touchdown back in the second half on their first possession, the Bearcats. So the second half was much better for Cincinnati. Next possession, though, the Bulls would extend their lead through Mitchell Wilcox's four-yard touchdown catch. Those missed field goals I alluded to, they would prove costly. Sam Crosa hit a 41-yarder for Cincinnati to make it 17-10, and almost immediately into the fourth quarter, a Michael Warren touchdown run tied the game at 17. Then, and you can see where this is going, Spencer Schrader missed a go-ahead field goal from 33 yards off the right post with 2 minutes 7 seconds remaining. It was his fourth missed field goal of the game. The Bearcats marched down the field 11 plays, 60 yards, setting up Crosa's 37-yard winning field goal. The Bulls, despite being the better side, are mathematically eliminated from the conference title contention, dropping to 2-4 in the AAC. Will, a lot to talk about in this game. And as you're mentioning off-air, they were very good, this USF team. They beat Cincinnati in almost every facet of the game, but it's little mistakes that cost them.
USF had never had a better chance to win a football game prior to tonight, including UConn, including BYU, including South Carolina State, where they were able to actually pull out victories. No chance that USF had a better mismatch than Cincinnati, and it shows on the stat sheet that they only allowed 30. They didn't even allow 80 passing yards, and they were able to outgain Cincinnati almost by double the amount of yardage. The turnover battle was even, which is unlike USF, but they had way more sacks than them. They did way better on third downs. They had more first downs in the games, way less penalties than normal for USF. And it just, everything seemed to go right, and the only thing that went wrong was the scoreboard, which unfortunately is the thing that ultimately matters.
You know, and you say that they didn't really have a whole lot of penalties, but there's a flash point in this game. It was a penalty. It was an offensive pass interference by Randall St. Felix. A lot of USF fans very mad about it. It wiped a 22-yard touchdown to Bryce Miller off the board. You didn't like the call. I kind of see where the referees are coming from, but that's not the point. The point is that it's another penalty, another costly mistake, and for your opinion, you said it cost them the game.
Absolutely. I'd say that penalties has been what cost the USF Bulls the season, essentially. We've seen it a lot calling every single football game so far. We've seen it to where USF will start driving. They get past midfield. Everything's going well, and then they break off like a 20-yard run and then holding on the offensive line. Now you got to bring that back to first and 20. Now we're starting to get into a hole here. We're back on the wrong side of the 50. Now we pull off a quick screen pass, gain about a chunk of 10 yards, another holding call, maybe even a false start. You know, whatever it may be, USF has been plagued by penalties all season. One of the bottom teams in the nation. Cincinnati is the only team that's worse. Cincinnati is one of the only programs that's worse in penalties. And they definitely showed it in the first half. Cincinnati couldn't get a single offensive snap off without a false start, without an offsides, something. And now USF just had so many opportunities, and that that pass interference call against Randall St. Felix early on a crossing route play between him and Bryce Miller, he ends up bumping Arquan Bush, the secondary member of Cincinnati, and it just looks like it could have gone either way, in my opinion. It looks like he was just trying to cross over and then happens to run into him, but I understand if it's outside the first 5 yards, you can't make those plays, but it was just one of those bang-bang plays to where it just looked like no serious contact was there, and Arquan Bush was able to make plenty of time up, and he was able to even get right on Bryce Miller. I'm convinced if he turned and looked at the ball, he could have picked it off, because similar to many Jordan McLeod throws, it was a little underthrown, and he managed to find a beautiful dime pass open to the top left corner of the end zone to Bryce Miller. Beautiful place pass, but Arquan Bush made the attempt and made plenty of ground up, could have turned and looked and intercepted the ball, could have changed the game, could have swayed the momentum completely. But nonetheless, the officials call it, and then that touchdown gets pulled back. And that's 7 points off the board that you don't have.
And to say that this is all because of that penalty, that's not true. There are other things we're going to talk about, the elephant in the room, Spencer Schrader. But the fact of the matter is USF outplayed Cincinnati. They outgained them by almost 150 yards. They had 438 to the Bearcats, 278. Jordan McLeod had a pretty good game. He was 18 of 27, which is better than his average. 267 yards. He threw one touchdown, no picks. Jordan Cronkright wasn't great, but he still had a serviceable 78 yards. Mitchell Wilcox got involved in the passing game. He caught a touchdown pass. Things went right for USF in this game, but as so often with pretty much every team on this campus, not just football, things also go wrong for USF. And in this game, it came up in the form of Spencer Schrader.
Absolutely. Spencer Schrader, you know, God bless the kid. He was brought into USF to be the long kicker. Kobe Weiss is very consistent within the 40-yard mark, but 45 and plus, that was supposed to be Spencer Schrader territory. And unfortunately, he came in and he had three of those opportunities from 40 plus and unable to come even close, I would say. That one at halftime from 43 out, it looked beautiful from our booth. It looked great. The hold was awesome. Kick was up. We were about to call three extra points, and all of a sudden we see the officials wave no good. We didn't even see where it fell short, and apparently it ended up going wide right. But nonetheless, it looked so beautiful from the booth, and the crowd wasn't booing. The crowd wasn't making any obscene gesture or anything, so I'm assuming they thought it looked good as well. There was no, you know, there was no cumulative sigh from the fans or anything like that, and so it looked really good. And just unfortunate day for Spencer Schrader. The problem is he left 12 points on the board as well. So there a lot of opportunity. You could argue that 19 points should be added to the Bulls score, if not even more, because there were plenty of other opportunities where they just couldn't cash in. It's just really unfortunate for USF.
And that defense held up once again, so those 19 extra points would have been enough. And by the way, the other thing I wanted to say that went right for USF, Jordan McLeod only got sacked once in this game. And how many times have we said that all year? Even against South Carolina State, I believe he still got sacked like three times. So it just a testament to how well they played, but it just didn't come together in the end.
And what's crazy about that is that they're missing Donovan Jennings.
Exactly.
Donovan's been starting the whole time, and now he has to sit out, and now Jarrett Hopple, a redshirt junior who has had literally no playing time, has had to hop into the right tackle spot. You know, and that is phenomenal. I mean, and he played great. He didn't allow one sack. The one sack that I'm pretty sure, how many sacks they allow? One or two?
One.
One, absolutely. I feel bad because it was commentator's curse. I brought it up. But regardless, whenever they were mentioning it, he came right through the center right past Brad Cecil. Cecil didn't pick him up, and he flew right in between them on a second down after a penalty already. So they were already backed up, and then that big hit backs him up even more. And, man, it was just great day by Hopple. Absolutely phenomenal day in general by the USF offensive line. And unfortunately, I think because of how much time he had, I think we may have seen Jordan McLeod peak last night, at least on the season. 267, I'm not sure exactly on the numbers, but if I wasn't mistaken, I think that's a season high. There's not often that he has put up, I can almost promise you he hasn't put up 300 yards. Because the days that we won, Jordan McLeod would be, it would be a running fest. Because Cronkright ran all over Connecticut. The running game had a great day against BYU. He did have a good day against South Carolina State, so maybe it's not. But still, but he didn't even come in until the second half of the South Carolina State game. Or no, that was the first game he started. My bad. But yeah, absolutely phenomenal game by Jordan McLeod. Percentage-wise, able to complete a lot of passes, made great reads, and just unfortunate for USF. Everything went right except for the score.
Yeah, confirmation that is his season high. The previous season high was last week against Temple when he threw for 225. So just things went right for USF, but the right things didn't go right. And just to kind of wrap up here, in a crazy way, even though they lost in a heartbreaking fashion and it killed the season, and while they're still bowl eligible, they're going to have to sweep Memphis and UCF, which, good luck. are there more positives to take out of this game than negatives? Are there more positives than what we've seen via the reaction on Twitter from fans and former players alike? Are we being too harsh on a team that put up a really good fight against a really good team that might go on to win the conference?
I think it's a little hard to say. Just from being in the post-game press conferences, everybody seemed to be in a different mood. You know, we've been there for losses before, and very optimistic still. Even Coach Strong say, you know, this team plays better than that. This team does this. This team does that. And there was honestly none of that last, you know, after the game, and it just a different vibe in the room. We had, five different players come in. We had Wilcox, Greer, McLeod, Livingstone, and one more. I can't remember off the top of my head, but regardless, all those players came in, and it just seemed like a different vibe. And Coach Strong even got choked up in his post-game press conference at the very beginning as he was trying to explain it. Everything just seemed to go right, and yet they still couldn't pull out a win. And now you have what I would say probably your second-hardest opponent all season in Memphis behind Wisconsin, and then you have Central Florida in Central Florida, which is always going to be a difficult game no matter what, no matter how much they're struggling this season compared to other seasons. They're still having a great season themselves out in Oviedo. So, it's one of those to where, you know, the morale seems very low. Even Jordan, who is normally pretty upbeat and very, very thankful for everybody interviewing him and everything, and he'll take a lot on his shoulder, but he definitely seemed a little down last night. I think everybody knows that was a very winnable game, and the fact that they didn't pull it out really, really kind of brought down spirits in the locker room.
Tough times for USF football, and those times will soon be over and wrap up. We've got a game against Memphis that we've been alluding to. It's Senior Day. That'll be a 4 p.m. kickoff next Saturday. We've got the call on Bulls Radio. You can hear myself and Will Polston potentially. We'll see on that call. And then if you like teams that are good,
hey-o.
We've got shouldn't have said that.
Shots fired.
We've got USF women's soccer in the second round of the NCAA tournament. They're taking on a powerhouse Pac-12 team in Washington. That game will be in Tallahassee, and so will we. We'll be there for the call on bullsradio.org. I do not know the kickoff time has not been released yet, but it'll be sometime on Friday around 6 o'clock. You can pay attention to our Twitter feed to get the time for that, but we'll be there for that game, and if they advance, we'll be there on Sunday to call the third round matchup against what will probably end up being FSU if they get that far. So you can keep up with our Twitter feed on Bulls Radio, at The Bulls Radio, for our sports department, and we'll have our broadcast, you know, promoted on there, and we'll let you know what times those are. But that'll do it for us this week, and we'll see you later in the week for our preview. Have a great week, everybody.